Monday Night Talk on Twitter. Start at 959WATD.com/Monday Night Talk. And don't forget to add hashtag Monday Night Talk to your tweets. And now, more Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
Welcome back to Monday Night Talk. We thank Joan Moschino for stopping by and chatting with us about her campaign for state rep, not state senate, state rep. Keep that in mind if you need more information about her campaign and some of the confusion, because there is going to be confusion, because again, she's on the ballot for state senate because it was after the June 8th deadline. June 8th deadline. So that's why Garrett Bradley's name will be on the ballot, as will Jones. But remember, you want to write in Jones if that's your candidate. So just keep that in mind. Joining us on the phone line, we go from Joan to speaking with State Rep 10th Plymouth District, which I believe is East Bridgewater, West Bridgewater, and Brockton. Michelle Dubois joining us. Hello.
Hi, Kevin. How are you doing?
I'm good. And you?
I'm well. Thanks for having me on your show.
Well, I thought it would be, and Ryan, who is in our newsroom, is also here with me. He's going to chat it up a little bit to talk about this bill. You and I had like
Hey there, Michelle.
We had like 2.5 minutes to talk the other morning during the South Shore's morning news when you called in and kind of gave us the nuts and the bolts of this bill that that was filed yourself. And who is the other gentleman that filed? Did you have a co-sponsor with this?
So I filed this jointly with the representative from Fall River, Representative Alan Sylvia, who I believe he's either in his second or third term as a state representative. I'm not exactly sure. Maybe even longer, I feel a little embarrassed.
Okay.
So he's the vice chair of Veterans Affairs at the State House. So he was a police officer, and so I just thought to talk to him about it, and he just really is in total alignment with me on this bill, and so we decided to file it jointly.
What led you to file this? Again, this is a hate crime protection for police here in the Commonwealth. What led you to put this together and kind of give us the details of the importance of a bill like this in your eyes?
Well, I had been working on it. It isn't that long, but I've been working on it since May. And the idea was, what kind of legislation could we affect and pass in Massachusetts that would provide additional protection to police officers without creating a crime or changing a misdemeanor to a felony, or really capturing the broad number of offenders who are having potentially or probably most likely the worst time of their life when they're involved with a police officer in a way that is confrontational, and to be able to divine out and ferret out the difference between someone who is motivated by hate of a police officer and someone who in the course of the day is getting arrested and maybe they're drunk or they're really hot-headed, and I don't know if necessarily an assault on a police officer during that time should be a felony, should make someone go to jail for a year. Now, let's all remember that attempted murder is a serious charge in and of itself of a police officer. And murder of a police officer is a very serious charge. So there are already very strict punishments for attempted murder, for murder. We're talking about assault or damage to a police officer's personal property, which is motivated out of a deep-seated hate that can be proven in a court of law before a judge. And what it does is it allows the judge to give 2.5 years, up to 2.5 years in prison for that person. So I think that prisons are necessary when they take someone who's dangerous to the community, to their family, to themselves, and get them out of society so myself, my family, my neighbors, my community is safer. And while they're in jail, definitely try to rehabilitate that person. I don't necessarily think we should be sending people to prison out of, like, I told you so lessons. You know, so someone having the worst day of their life, they happen to, when they're being arrested, happen to, like, push a cop and maybe it breaks his finger. So does that person really belong going to prison for a year unless we're certain that that person is a danger to society? And if they have this deep-seated hatred of a law enforcement officer that has expressed itself in a physical aggression, well, that person does need to take a time out and get the heck out of civil society because you shouldn't be assaulting people. But I don't think we should be sending someone to prison who might have made a mistake. I think that should be left up to a judge to make that determination, which is why I really do not like mandatory minimum sentences, because everybody's different. And so I filed this bill after Officer Tarantino was killed in May 11th, I believe. I started developing this bill to try and find a measured response to this type of tragedy that tells society there are certain things we will not accept and gives stiffer sentences for that. And then after Dallas, I had, during that several months, I had developed the bill that I had planned on filing in January, which is the beginning of the new legislative session. But after Dallas, I thought, you know, even if this doesn't pass this term, because the end of the legislative session is on July 31st, it's really going to serve as a good discussion topic in my community of Brockton, West Bridgewater, and East Bridgewater around civil society and what we do accept and what we don't accept. So we don't accept attacking police officers motivated out of hate. We don't accept racist police officers killing black men. We don't accept that. But we also don't accept that all people of color are bad and all police officers are bad. I believe that, you know, 99.9% of police officers are good and 99.9% of people of color are awesome. I just, I find that there's a serious divide, and I wanted to use this bill as a message to my community, but also a message to the state legislature that we don't have to go overboard and incarcerate more people if it's not going to make us a safer society, just so we can give ourselves a pat on the back, because I don't think that's appropriate.
Ryan?
Now, I think this is a very timely bill with all the Lives Matter campaigns going on, and I see that I read that you believe that Black Lives Matter as well as police lives. How does this really differentiate between just an assault on a police officer and now it being a hate crime against a police officer? What really differentiates that?
So there's already a bill called the Hate Crimes Penalty Act, a law in Massachusetts, and it sets out how this hate crimes penalty sentencing goes in court. It's already been law for quite some time, so the judge and the judicial system have a good track record in implementing it, so it wouldn't be like a whole new discovery into law. You could see right away if it was being abused or not abused based on the type of hate crime penalties that have been brought against other defendants when they attacked other protected classes. So it would give the community some faith that they could have, they could benchmark this usage of the Hate Crimes Penalty Act to cover police officers in a way to make sure that it wasn't being exploited, which is significant worry in my community of Brockton, in the poverty community, in the persons of color community. There's, with all the news media and the instances of police brutality, we want to make sure if we're going to implement a law, it's not only going to affect the change that we want, i.e. police officers, good people that have families, being able to get home safe, and be able to do their job to make all of our community safer, but also that it respects the very real criticism of people of color and the NAACP, the Black Lives Matter movement, my neighbors, my constituents, that they want to make sure that a law can't be used to give undue protection and potential misuse. So there's concerns on both sides. So I thought that this bill kind of, it would allow a prosecuting attorney to ask a judge to bring in this Hate Crimes Penalty Act additional 2.5 years in prison if the prosecuting attorney can prove to the judge that the crime that was committed, the assault or the damage to the police officer's personal property or the protected class's personal property was motivated by hatred of that class, not necessarily, I'm going to tag every car on the street and it just so happens one of the cars is a police officer's car. That wouldn't qualify as a hate crime. Now, if you purposely go out and split a police officer's car tires and the prosecuting attorney can prove something, well, then maybe a prosecuting, a judge could then make the determination, and if the judge saw fit to give an extended sentence, they could. So it isn't for everybody. And the other bills that are pending right now are more blanket, tougher on crime bills that really I don't think will do anything to build trust in the community or show respect on both sides of this issue and all of the sides of our public safety officers and provide the change that I think our society needs and the reminder that it's not right to hate on people of color, it's not right to show hate and assault disabled people, it's another protected class. It's not appropriate to, you know, assault or damage property of transgender people. That is a protected class of people. And so it's not a right to assault or damage the property of a police officer. So I think that the punishment is modest, but it helps to identify the people in the community that are dangerous without sweeping up a whole bunch of people that are potentially good people and just made a bad decision and nobody's really significantly hurt. So I just thought it was a more measured response.
If I can ask, and again, we're speaking with State Representative Michelle Dubois, and she's talking to us about this hate crime protection for police officers. Was there any thought to extend it beyond police officers for first responders, whether it's firefighters or EMT workers or anybody in that realm?
So the Louisiana, the only other law that passed so far was in Louisiana, and they extended it to all emergency personnel like you listed. I believe in regulation as a preventative, but also I don't want to create a problem where it doesn't exist. So I'm not seeing the level of assault and the level of unrest in the community with regard to EMTs and firefighters. But I was approached by another state representative and asked to add it in, but I had already filed the bill. So I assume that that state representative, if it gets filed again next year, would put on an amendment.
Okay.
But, you know, women aren't even covered under the hate crimes bill right now. I found that out through this whole process. It's another thing I learned in the process of drafting this bill is that women are not even a protected class, which is pretty shocking to me with so much violence against women everywhere in society.
As far as what we've been seeing over the past couple of months, I mean, give me your thoughts, whether it's a matter of, you know, attacks on police officers or police brutality. Your thoughts?
Well, what we've been seeing, I think, over the last several years, so I'm 43, and it's, you know, it's been sporadic through the decades, but in the last several years, we see this bifurcation of people by wealth, and it seems like society has set up who the winners and losers are going to be, and a lot of times the people that are struggling with the most barriers are immigrants, people of color, Hispanic people, that have generational poverty issues, and society has bifurcated so much that people making less than $30,000 a year may go months and months and months without ever talking to anyone that makes more than $300,000 a year. And the whole social structure has broken down, and government doesn't fund inner city education as they should, or provide after-school programs, or ladders out of poverty, or produces opportunity or hope in urban communities. And then the police are underfunded, and our criminal justice system criminalizes things like selling single cigarettes, which is a ridiculous law that you would force a police officer to arrest someone for. So I think all these things set up a system where you have police officers enforcing laws in communities that are made by people who don't live in that community, don't understand urban culture, don't understand the trials and tribulations of being in poverty, and then they criminalize poverty, and then you force police officers to be the implement in society around it, and then you get people that shouldn't be police officers because we're not getting rid of racist cops quick enough, and we're not screening for racial bias before we hire people, and I think we need much more diversity in our police force. There's a lot of no support for that. So you get this anger that if you sit everybody down on a couch, I'm sure cooler heads will prevail. But when you have a police officer who is either racially biased or undertrained because the police department is underfunded, and or shouldn't be a police officer, and they get into these life and death situations and they make bad choices, people die and they should lose their job at minimum and probably go to jail. But when you have police officers that do an assassination of a black man for no reason, that police officer should be treated like everybody else and go to jail for that. And nobody should be trying to defend the police officer if it comes to find out that he murdered somebody and assassinated them, not because of a mistake in training or because he was scared, but because he was a racist cop. And so I think I defend both sides, because without police officers, my neighbors would be much more vulnerable to crime. So I live in a city with a lot of crime, and we love police officers. We care about police officers. We know that we need police officers. We need them not to be racist. And so it's really, for me, it's not an either or. And I think some people have used language that is too charged for the current situation. So I filed this bill to just bring home to the Commonwealth and my neighbors that even if their parents are saying, it's okay, we're going to rob a gun show and then kill police officers and they have kids involved, that the kids know that that isn't appropriate. That we as a society, it's sad that we have to put it in writing, but I think that we've crossed the line where we at least have to put that basic beginning of the conversation is it's not our right to assault or damage police officers' property or assault them personally or hate them because they provide a really good service to our society that needs to be protected and safeguarded and make sure as little corruption as possible is in the system. We really want to be diligent about weeding out corruption in our police force.
Well, we want to thank you for joining us, and depending on how far this goes in this legislative session, hopefully we'll hear back from you. I just need you to quickly answer one rumor that we have. We've actually got a rumor that you're being vetted by Hillary Clinton's people right now to be a running mate. Is that true?
Yeah, Oh, wouldn't that be heaven? Never, never.
Okay. All right, just checking. All right.
Maybe you before me.
Yeah, I kind of thought that. Representative, I want to thank you for joining us. And definitely keep us up to speed as to how this bill moves along.
Well, I would just like to say that I'm having community conversations around diversity and policing.
Okay.
And we plan on coming up with some bills to file next session around that as well.
Well, the microphones are here, and you're welcome to come and talk about them. So let us
know.
Thank
you. Bye-bye.
All right. There she is, State Representative Michelle Dubois. We're going to step aside, and when we come back after a little Boston, more Monday Night Talk. Don't go anywhere.